The House Transportation Committee has a new chairman. The Concorde convictions are overturned. And the Supreme Court will not block a union vote at American Airlines. This is Aero News for Friday, November the 30th, 2012. I'm Glenn, still got a head cold in my sinuses, Moyer. Political elections and the start of a new Congress bring changes, and one of the first of those is the news that Congressman Bill Shuster, Republican of Pennsylvania, has been selected by the House Republican Conference to be the next chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Shuster has served on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee since coming to Congress in 2001. He has previously served as chairman of the Subcommittee on Railroads, Pipelines, and Hazardous Materials, and as chairman of the Subcommittee on Economic Development, Public Buildings, and Emergency Management. According to House Republican Conference rules, members may serve as chair for 6 years before being term-limited out of office. Congressman John Mica, Republican of Florida, has served for the past 6 years as chairman of the committee and this week dropped his request to House Speaker John Boehner for a waiver of the term limit and endorsed Shuster. Shuster has not yet named subcommittee chairs, so it's not known how many of those will change, if any. Currently, Representative Tom Petrie, Republican of Wisconsin, chairs the Aviation Subcommittee. A French appellate court has overturned involuntary manslaughter convictions against the former Continental Airlines and mechanic John Taylor, stemming from a July 2000 accident involving an Air France Concorde SST. 113 people were fatally injured when the plane caught fire on takeoff and went down in a residential area. A French court had found both the airline and the mechanic guilty of involuntary manslaughter when it determined that a metal strip which had fallen from a Continental DC-10 had caused one of the SST's tires to rupture during its takeoff roll. Pieces of the tire were said to have punctured the fuel tanks, causing the fire. The New York Times reports that while the appellate court did not challenge the lower court's findings, it said the manslaughter charge was unjustified. The court did uphold a payment of about $1.3 million to Air France for, quote, damage to its image, end quote. Taylor had been named in this suit for fabricating and using a titanium wear strip on the DC-10 during maintenance rather than one made of a softer metal and of attaching it improperly to the airplane. William Voss, president of the Flight Safety Foundation, said that the aviation community would view the verdict with a sense of relief, saying, quote, "It reminds us that human error, regardless of the tragic outcome, is different than a crime," end quote. A request for a hearing before the Supreme Court of the United States by American Airlines in an effort to block its passenger service agents from voting on union representation has been denied by Supreme Court Justice Scalia, allowing a vote to go forward next week. The Communications Workers of America had been pushing for a vote by the 9,700 agents for about a year. American spokesman Bruce Hicks said that the Supreme Court request to block the vote was an attempt by the airline to recognize that the majority of those workers did not ask for or approve of the vote to join the union. At issue is a law that now requires unions to get authorization cards from 50% or more of the affected workers in order to conduct an election to form a union. American claims that didn't happen. The previous law required only a 35% response rate, and the National Mediation Board ruled that the CWA's application was filed before December 2011, when the current law took effect. Thus, the old 35% hallmark would apply and the election could go forward. Americans sought to block the election at the Supreme Court level, and that has now been denied. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that voting instructions have gone out to the workers and that the outcome will be decided by a simple majority of the votes cast. American spokesman Bruce Hicks says now that the election has been okayed, the airline hopes all of its passenger service agents will vote, obviously hoping that the failure of the union to get 50% in the authorization poll means a full turnout of voters would result in the union's defeat. Qantas has become a launch customer for the Fly Smart with Airbus cockpit applications on iPad. These electronic flight bag applications will be used by all pilots in the airline who fly Airbus aircraft. The Airbus EFB solution for iPad was announced at the Farnborough Air Show earlier this year, and Qantas has been working closely with Airbus since the launch of the project. Qantas pilots took part in testing the Airbus applications and worked with Airbus engineers to help define the best iPad EFB applications for the pilot community. The Airbus iPad EFB applications will soon be delivered to Qantas as well as to a growing number of launch customers worldwide who have chosen that system. Pilots around the world will soon be able to consult all their Airbus operational manuals on iPad. They will also be able to compute their aircraft performance calculations, which will provide them with optimized and accurate results on any runway of their operational route network. When Aero News continues, a groundbreaking in Florida, pink slips in North Carolina, and a legislative win for biofuel.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues for Friday, November 30th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Florida Space Coast's aerospace economy continues to grow as Governor Rick Scott and representatives from Space Florida and the Economic Development Commission of Florida's Space Coast joined local, national, and international dignitaries in a groundbreaking Wednesday on the $24 million Embraer Engineering and Technology Center, USA, at Melbourne International Airport. The 63,500-square-foot facility, which will generate 200 engineering jobs by the end of 2016, adds to Embraer's economic impact across the Space Coast and its growing footprint at the airport, which is also home to the company's final assembly plant and customer center. Those two facilities, a combined 138,000 square feet, represent a capital investment of more than $50 million. Meanwhile, Delta Airlines had informed the North Carolina Department of Commerce that it plans to close a facility near Kingston, southeast of Raleigh, and consolidate its private jets operation near Cincinnati. The move will cost about 50 people their jobs. The Triangle Business Journal reports that Delta had acquired it when it purchased Seagrave Aviation in 2010. It has been a part of a unit known as Delta Private Jets, an aircraft management and charter company and FBO. Delta wants to consolidate the unit at Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport, just south of the Ohio City in Hebron, Kentucky. Layoff notices went out to employees November the 19th, with an effective date of March 31st. Delta said some of the employees will be offered transfers to Kentucky, though most would simply lose their jobs. The U.S. Senate on Wednesday passed an amendment to the Defense Authorization Bill, sponsored by Colorado Senator Mark Udall, removing provisions from the act that would have prevented the Department of Defense from using biofuels except in very limited circumstances. Politico reports that Republican Senators James Inhofe and John McCain had sought to block the biofuel purchase as too expensive. Inhofe argued that spending money on biofuels detracts from military readiness. But speaking in support of his amendment, Udall said, quote, "Our military is on the cutting edge of technology, but much of our fighting capability relies on foreign fossil fuels and decades-old power systems. That dependence has very real human and economic cost. We should allow our military leaders to continue to develop and use advanced alternative fuels in order to bring down cost and improve mission capabilities," end quote. Both the Air Force and the Navy have been conducting tests with biofuels powering their aircraft. Well, if you're a regular or even just a casual listener to these Aerocasts, you obviously have some interest in aviation. If working in the industry is a long-held dream or even just a spur-of-the-moment thought, you should log on to our website, www.aero-news.net, and check out our Help Wanted advertisement. We're looking for a handful of energetic men and women with a love of aviation and a variety of journalistic, website, graphic design, marketing, and even, dare I say, voice talents. Don't let the fact that my sinuses right now are as compacted as a well-constructed brick wall fool you. I'm not going anywhere, but there are serious opportunities for others of you who would like to join our team. Check it out. I did about 9 months ago, and golly, look what's happened to me. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.